Chapter 35. How do you know this? I got a snitch working Newark International. Thursday morning, around 2 a.m., Hack's Private 747 touched down. They had to clear the sword through customs. It was appraised by Hanami Kozen, and valued at $3.6 million. Of course, that is a very conservative estimate. It is the first Muramasa from that period the Hanami have recognized. This is a huge event in the world of swords and collectors, and hasn't officially been announced. That's what the party's all about. There will be people from the Smithsonian and Vanity Fair. Hecht likes to see his photo in the society rags. Sharp talked about the sword with a religious fervor. His eyes blazed. He was a believer. Did he want the sword for himself, or was he merely excited at the magnitude of the find? She wanted to trust him, but she had seen too much. Is that all you're going to say? You've got a snitch? He nodded grimly. Derek, may I ask you a question? Shoot. Do you collect swords? He gave her a funny look, like he'd just stepped on an egg. I have a few swords. Got 'em in Japan. You knew I was a Nipponophile. Why? You're aware of the legend surrounding Muramasa's final sword, Skyroot? Sharp's brow furrowed into a map of the Mississippi Delta. What do you mean? Was he faking, or did he know? The Witchblade was no help. Sarah felt a flash of rage. What good was it? She hadn't asked for it. If it would function as a lie detector or telepathy advice, that would be helpful. But no, it had its own agenda. Udo, the legends suggest his restless spirit haunts the earth, searching for his lost sword. Sharp stared at her for a minute, forehead warping into eagle wings. So you've been having blackouts. Periods where you can't account for time. Aside from the threat this poses to your work, don't you think this might indicate a deeper, personal crisis? They stared intently at each other in long silence. Brain tumor? She didn't reply. Possession? Sharp whispered. Sarah shrugged. I've seen a lot of weird stuff. I've learned not to discount the so-called supernatural. You think the reason I black out is because I'm being possessed by a ghost samurai? For a while I thought the killer was trying to hide the real target, Chalmers. But now I'm not so sure. Chalmers received several threatening emails from someone calling himself Kagemusha, because Chalmers beat him out in an online auction. Shadow Warrior. What did you think when you cut that punk in two? Were you thinking? Sharp rubbed his forehead with his knuckles. When I came to in the control booth, you were already out at the end of the crane, those two scumbags reaching for you. I remember running out on the crane. Sarah recalled the fight they'd had on the gondola. Would have been difficult for an ordinary man to sleep through that. But nothing about Sharp was ordinary. Derek, if you killed those men under some outside influence, we need to find out. You need to find out. You need to man up, and get a complete psychological evaluation. We can even contact the parapsychology department at Columbia. I can't believe we're having this conversation. I just hope you'll remember. I'll remember, Sarah, I promise. Okay, so tell me why you concealed the fact you're a former SEAL? That's classified. Come on, Derek. Seriously. I know how this must look, but I'm trying to lead a normal life. I was involved in some highly classified missions in the East, and one of the conditions of my release was that I not talk about my years in the military. I can check that easily enough. You need to take a leave of absence. Beat. You're right. I will, as soon as Hecht shows the sword. You need to take a leave of absence now. I can't do that. Why not? He gritted his teeth. Because I have to see the sword. Is this Derek talking, or Udo? A look of immense confusion came over his face. A yellow gleam of fear crept into his eyes like a distant sun. I don't know. It's okay to admit it. I don't know what's happening to me. I've always been in control. I know how scary that can feel. You need to see a shrink. I know. Promise you'll get help. I promise. Listen. I swear to you, I didn't murder Bachman or Chalmers. Just let me stay on the job through the grand opening. Derek, I'll have to think about it. But I promise you I won't do anything before telling you first. Fair enough. It was almost 1 by the time Sarah arrived home. She parked the bike, strolled across the busy avenue, and let herself into her apartment. Schmendrick scolded her until she picked him up and took him to bed with her, purring loudly. She needed a seance, with or without Sharp's cooperation. Sarah knew of numerous psychics in and around the city, mostly humbugs, a few not. In the morning, she'd see about contacting someone. She slept until 11, rolled out of bed, showered and shaved her legs. Big day. The mayor's reception was that evening. She pushed it out of her mind. Derek Sharp was a ticking time bomb. She phoned Siri at his home in Queens. "Joe, it's Sarah. Can I come over? I need to talk to you." "What the hell, hey? It's a zoo here anyway. My brother and his family are here. Come on around back." Siri's house in Rego Park was a white clapboard two-story job with Amityville windows. 50 feet of crabgrass ground with picket fence was girdled round. A place for little Joe to play, a port for Siri's Chevrolet. It was just past one when Sarah arrived. She left her bike in the driveway between a Chevy Suburban and a Subaru with Connecticut plates. In the backyard, four adults were seated around a picnic table while four kids raced pell-mell, pausing to douse each other with super soakers. Joe's kids were grown up. These had to be his nieces and nephews. Siri's wife Dahlia noticed Sarah first, rose to greet her with a smile. "Hello, Sarah. Would you like a beer?" "Okay." Siri introduced her to his brother Dave, and Dave's wife Ruth. Sarah accepted a beer and she and Siri walked around the side of the house, through the hinged gate, to the front yard, where they sat on the stoop, watching kids swoop up and down 243rd Street on their skateboards, inlines, and razors. One quaint candidate for the Society for Creative Anachronism even rode a bicycle. "I heard about your set to last night at Hecht Gardens. What the heck was that all about?" she told him, omitting her knowledge of the sword's ancient history. Siri had little use for the supernatural, despite, or perhaps because of, Sarah's previous cases. "You think Sharp is the samurai killer? Thanks for letting me know. What happens if I reach out to him? Is he gonna cooperate? Or is he gonna go nuts and chop down my guys? I don't know." "All right. I'm putting Sharp on administrative leave. You do that, he'll know I talked. Internal affairs will get involved." "Well, Sarah, I don't see where you've left me much choice. You come to me with loads of circumstantial evidence, then last night Sharp asks you to meet him, he doesn't show, four gangbangers do and you're nearly killed. When he does show, he acts like some kind of nut instead of a cop. Any rookie can put the lie to your story about how a guy wire cut that kid in two. Something doesn't add up here. Something you're not telling me." Sarah experienced a sinking sensation, her heart being sucked toward the center of the earth like a pneumatically propelled drive-up bank capsule. She liked Sharp. He would know instantly that the reason he was being placed on administrative leave was because Sarah had talked. A mad M80 went off in her skull, aimed at Sharp for putting her in this situation. He was a cop. He knew what the job entailed. It was he who'd placed her in this untenable situation through his bizarre behavior. "Say something. You're scaring me." Siri's voice seemed to come from far away. Sarah blinked. "What? You got that look on your face, like Bodhidharma at the wall. Joe, if Sharp has mental problems, this could push him over the edge." "Yeah, so I have to detail two plain clothes to follow him, and I ain't got 'em. I'm going to have to put in a special request to One Police Plaza, they're gonna want to know why. Joe, tell them you're closing in on Chalmers' killer. That'll give you the cover you need." An expression of enlightenment slowly settled onto Siri's heavy features. "That's right. Now my only problem is keeping this away from the press. That's all the department needs. Samurai killer exposed as cop. That'll finish the job," Sharpton started. "I'd say that's the least of your worries. That's because you're not chief. You going to this thing at Gracie Mansion tonight?" "Yeah. I tell you how to behave, except I think you know more about it than me. Have a good time and don't piss on or piss off the mayor. One more thing." Siri slapped a hand over his face and dragged. "What? Maybe we should alert Hecht, he could be in danger. I'll take care of it. Thanks, Joe." Two teenage boys watched with a mixture of awe and admiration as she strapped on her beanie helmet and took off. She ran the tack up to 9, dropped the clutch, and did a wheelie. Something to remember for the rest of their lives.